Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this. If you're an engineering leader who's ever looked at someone with a bigger job and a bigger paycheck than yours and thought, seriously? If they can do it, I can do it. Let's not name names, but I get it. That's why we created Career Clarity Calls, for one simple reason. A lot of engineers, probably including you, just want a deeper sense of clarity on the barriers holding you back that you need to overcome in order to accelerate your career and achieve your dreams. These short 15-minute calls give you a chance to work with one of our coaches without any commitment or pressure to get out your credit card. Scheduling is easy. Just go to careerclaritycall.com. And a number of people who do these calls ask if they can continue with a deep dive coaching session, which is usually $500. It's 75 minutes and completely life-changing. So I've decided to carve out a number of these calls for free specifically to help our podcast listeners who know you want to reach the next level. Let's jump on the phone and get you the help and clarity you need. Again, that link is in the show notes, or just memorize it. CareerClarityCall.com. Click the big orange button, select a time, and let's build your career. Okay, let's do this. Happy engineers, welcome back. It's time for Q&A number 3, and that means my good buddy and the man who makes me sound good every single week, Daniel Powell, is back. Daniel, how you doing, man?
What is up, Zach? It's good to be here. Good to be back.
How about Q&A number 2, man? Some awesome questions. I enjoyed that one tremendously.
Yeah, those were some really good questions. Oh, I felt the pain of those questions, you know, asking for raises and just trying to find a work-life balance without compromising your standing and your reputation.
Ooh, totally.
I feel those in my chest.
We feel the pain. So if the engineering leader listening, if you missed Q&A 2, go back, check it out. You can join us in feeling the pain, but maybe you have some pain today related to our questions we're going to dig into, and this will be exactly what you need. And a great opportunity for a shameless plug, send in your questions. If you're in pain right now, you could be featured on Q&A 4. So we'd love to hear what you need.
And audio questions get priority.
What?
Voice memo. So if you're really in pain, go into your closet, record a voice memo. Yeah. If you're comfortable recording it like in your office, do that. But depending on the question, you know, you might need to record it from the closet. So whatever.
We know everybody loves to hear Daniel's beautiful voice on the podcast, but we'd love to hear yours too, engineer. So send us your questions in an audio format. Daniel made a commitment last time. You get first dibs on being featured in the Q&A episodes if you send it in that way. So there it is. Now you know.
So before we dig into the pain, Zach, we need to dig into the celebration, because we always want to prioritize that positive movement and taking action. So who can celebrate with us this week?
The list is long, but you know, let me preface this with saying, if you're out there, maybe your company's in a hiring freeze, or you're feeling some uncertainty or fear around what's happening with macroeconomics and what's going on in the world these days, and companies are tightening belts and whatever, there's a lot to look at that's negative. And so it's important for us to remember, hey, there are opportunities out there. Engineering leaders are creating results every single week, and we get to celebrate with them, and we're seeing that. And I'll just shout out a couple of names. You know, Lavanya landed her lead engineer promotion in a new organization, got that technical leader position she wanted. Kudos, great work. And for her, stepping way out of her comfort zone, acting with courage to go out and crush those interviews and take on a role that's going to require a whole new set of skills for her. Didn't wait till she was 100% ready. Said, you know what, I've got enough and I'm going to go make it happen. So Lavanya, great job. My man Kurt went out. For those who heard Q&A 2 asking about getting a raise, he took a case to his leader and said, I'm driving more value than I'm getting compensated for, and got a raise handled right there within role. It only took him a few weeks to get it done. And so kudos to Kurt for taking his value to the organization and getting that raise without a new role or a promotion or title change or anything else. And Anthony landed his dream job at Amazon. So kudos to Anthony. Really proud of you. This guy went all in, put his best foot forward in preparing. But it's not just about technical skills, folks. It was the mindset work. It was the confidence building, and it paid off. So he's crushing it in his first 90 days at Amazon. We could keep going, but I'll stop there. So well done, Lavinia, Kurt, Anthony, and everybody else who didn't get mentioned. We love you. So proud of you. Keep crushing comfort. Create courage every day.
Before we dig in here, that's some really relevant comments that you made about companies tightening budgets and everything. What's it like out there right now? What are you hearing from your clients?
You know, everybody is asking the same core questions. What's happening in the world at large? What does the next 12, 24, 36 months really look like? By definition, a recession is two quarters of GDP contraction. So you could easily argue we're in a recessionary period already. And what does that mean for the strategies, for the budgets, for the way we handle capital, et cetera? Top leaders and managers of the organizations are facing these questions, these longer term questions. And those things trickle down to the projects and to the hiring and the work that happens for sure at the director manager levels, but even in the IC roles that engineering leaders out there have day in and day out. And frankly, you know, one of the biggest immediate impacts is uncertainty. And engineers, let's face it, I am one. I get it. I'm right there with you. Like, we don't operate at our best in a climate of deep uncertainty. You know, is the project going to get funded or not get funded? Is something going to get canceled? Are people going to get fired? Is there going to be a restructuring? All of those things that create uncertainty, those are happening all over in big volumes. Everybody's experiencing deep uncertainty. And so that's one thing for sure. And then as far as specific things I'm hearing, Daniel, lots of companies are in a period of a hiring freeze, even though talent seems to be shuffling and this great resignation still happening. I'm hearing more people say, hey, budgets are tight. We're tightening the belt. Hiring freeze is on, et cetera. So I'm hearing that. And then the other piece is, as far as salaries and the pay that people want, there was a period there where money was getting thrown around like crazy to get people hired. Bonuses that were through the roof and stock options and salaries growing really quickly. And I'm hearing some pullback on that, that companies are not willing to just throw money at the problem as much as they were, say, 6 or 12 months ago. Again, these are broad brush statements, but there's always exceptions and each individual's experience may be different. I guess the big thing for me is just recognize your senior team, or if you are that senior chief leader, we're asking those long-term questions. And anytime we get into that fear or sense of change on the horizon, that's going to trickle down and create some tough environments for those people doing the work. I'll end it with this statement too, Dan, because this is really true. And I'm glad you brought it up. And here's a quality that every incredibly successful leader, engineer or not, has in common, is the ability to create certainty from a place of uncertainty. The ability to create certainty where there is none is a quality of amazing visionary leaders in all domains. We call it faith and mindset. If it's this courage and visionary leadership where you make that declarative stand for what you believe, even if we might be wrong, but you send that conviction into the team, they trust you and they follow you, even though it's really unclear what's ahead. That's a quality that great leaders have. And so for anybody facing these uncertain times, let's reframe that and recognize it gives you an opportunity to step up as a leader and be the person who has confidence and certainty when, by all reasonable, realistic measures, there is none. For engineers who can do that, the sky's the limit for you in your career.
So let's dig into our questions for this week, Zach. We have two good ones. These are my favorite yet, so I'm really excited about these, all right? The first comes from Nick, and Nick is a director of engineering. And here's what Nick asks us. It seems like everybody talks about the importance of having a good morning routine. But there are some coaches out there that say that morning routines don't matter at all. Zach, what do you believe about morning routines? And what are the most important aspects of a morning routine? And do you have a, do you personally have one that you're willing to share?
This is such a big topic. I don't know how much time we want to spend today. We got 2 hours. Is that right, Daniel? 3 hours?
we got 45 minutes.
Let's slow it down, Zach. Okay. Wow. So there's, first of all, I'll just say my personal opinion is that the people out there who are raging against morning routines, I think they're just looking for a controversial point of view to attract you in their marketing. And of course, there's always going to be an exception to the rule, but I don't see any substantial amount of evidence that suggests that just starting your day willy-nilly with no intention and no structure and no actual focus is the best way to start the day on the whole for the majority of the population. So I am an absolute believer in the morning routine. I'm sure people who say otherwise have their reasons or their points, and there may be some truth buried in there. And by no means am I saying, if you don't have one, you're doomed for failure. I just see it as an X factor that can create really positive outcomes. So let me unpack why I believe that, a couple of principles. You know, when you sleep, there's a lot of resetting that happens overnight, both in your body, in terms of healing and allowing the cells to recover. Good sleep is important for the physical systems of your body, but also mentally, spiritually, emotionally. We wake up in a bit of a reset. And for me, I like to think of that reset as waking up in the middle of my comfort zone. Yeah, when I roll out of bed, not only are those sheets and that warm bed so comfortable and cozy, and you just don't even really want to get out and face the world sometimes, but the way that I'm thinking, the automatic subconscious part of me is in charge when I roll out of bed. And if we don't become conscious, if we don't use that 5% of our mind, the conscious mind, to create some intention and focus, then you're going to be driven all day long on autopilot. And so the first thing for me that's important is to recognize, if I want to get out of my comfort zone and do the things that will accelerate the results that I want in life, I need to set some intentions and get conscious in the morning. Get really clear on what I want to focus on. Otherwise, again, autopilot wins every single time. The habits and decisions of the subconscious mind are really difficult to resist if you just wake up and start rolling. Related to this reset concept is the fact that your energy, you could even say your emotions, where emotion is energy in motion, right? Emotion. Those also come back to more or less neutral. Now, everybody has kind of an emotional home. Some people are biased a bit negative. You might know some of those people. Some people are biased more positive, right? They're always a bit happier. But generally speaking, you come back to a more neutral place when you wake up in the morning. And what's true about energy and emotion is that it's difficult for the mind and the nervous system to have these jolts or big shifts in an energetic state or emotional state. So if you're really, really negative, let's just pick an emotion like anger, frustration, you're really pissed off. You know, if you're in that place, it's difficult moment to moment to just jump from really, really angry to really happy and full of joy and gratitude and loving life. To go from a moment to the next moment and make that switch is really tough. And so for me, the opposite is also true. You know, if I'm in a great place, I'm in a place of positive energy, positive emotion, gratitude, happiness, joy, I'm in a positive place. It takes a lot more for somebody to bump me down to feeling sad, depressed, angry, frustrated. You know, it can happen, but it's pretty tough for the body and the mind to make those kind of big jolts. So I look at the morning routine as my opportunity to prime my energy, my emotions, my trajectory of the day into that positive place where I get my best results. I do my best thinking and go there so that all those unpredictable things that are going to happen every day, which, let's face it, we can come into the day with the best plans possible and stuff always goes some other way than our perfect plan. So if I'm primed in a positive way, it sets me up for success that if something wants to derail me, it's going to have to work a lot harder to get me off of that positive energy. You may bump me back to neutral, but I have a chance to still recover that and stay in a positive place. Versus if I start the day negative or even start at neutral and the first thing I encounter at work is negative, boom, suddenly I'm in a negative place all day long. So those are the principles for me about why the morning routine is so important. I think it's truly like that first 30 to 90 minutes of the day is unique in setting you up for success in creating focus and in creating a positive energy and emotion to carry you through your best day. That's the starting point, why I believe in it. Now, here's the problem. There's 100,000 answers to the question of what's a good morning routine. And I'll just say at the end of the day, Nick, if you want to answer this question for yourself, the best answer is the one that you will consistently do. The best morning routine for you is the one you'll do. The consistency and the execution is what matters in my mind more than the specific things that you fill that with in terms of the activities. Because if you do it for just a day or a couple days a week, you're not going to get the same results as consistent every single day driving yourself forward. So I would start there. And so did I hear in the question, Daniel, Nick wants to know my morning routine too, or like what else, like maybe more specifically what to do?
Yeah. And I think I'll go ahead and call out something here. In one of your recent interviews, your guest, I don't remember the fellow's name right now. I'm sure you can help me out. He was talking about the emotional scale kind of being like a ladder. Looking at that on my screen right here. And it kind of starts off at apathy and then hope, optimism, enthusiasm, kindness, gratitude, peace. So I hear you saying when you get out of bed, you want that first step to be up that ladder of emotions instead of down.
Yes. Yeah. So Robert Peterson and I talked about this. And yeah, absolutely. The emotional scale. So if you didn't catch that, that's episode 58. And this is a perfect point, connecting the dots. Thanks, Daniel. The emotional scale is a really good tool. Go Google that. If you're listening and you want to know what that is, just go to Google, type emotional scale, hit images. You'll see a bunch of versions of it. But that's exactly what I'm saying. If I wake up at neutral on the scale, I want to use those first minutes of my day to pump me up as close to the top as I can. Because once my energy is up there, not only do I get better results, I'm more productive, I have more clarity, I impact those around me in a more positive way. But if something in life or a relationship, another person tries to knock me down, even if they're not trying to, it just happens, right? Life happens. Man, it's a lot harder to take me all the way to the bottom, that scale in one step, right? It may bump me down some, but again, it makes you more resilient to tough things throughout the day. And for anybody listening, if you're concerned about the time investment in the morning being difficult to come by and how do I make that happen, here's the ROI equation. I am more productive every hour of my day because of the time I invest in the morning. And I guarantee you, I am getting better results in literal measurable outcomes every single day by putting in time up front. It's just the old Abe Lincoln, sharpen the axe before you start chopping. This is me sharpening the axe every single morning. So here's what I would encourage everybody to consider. If you're designing a morning routine, I believe the best morning routines address
Let's hear your morning routine.
All right. I'll give you
mine. Tell us yours.
I'll tell you mine, and then I'll tell you about why it has what it has in it. Yeah, so perfect. Yeah. Here, Daniel calling me out. Good job, man. So my morning routine, I wake up, the alarm's on the other side of the room. So I get out of the bed, I hit that alarm, turn it off. I walk straight into the restroom where my clothes to work out are all set out, primed. I get the clothes on, I use the restroom, splash cold water on my face. Essentially, I use those first 2 minutes just to get myself awake and alert and out of the bed and into the flow. I really do encourage everybody, like the first thing that you do when you get out of bed, it's kind of like knocking over that first domino in a domino rally. You got to get that one right and be non-negotiable. So plug for do not hit the snooze button. I know a lot of people say that. I believe it too, because as soon as you hit the snooze, you've just made the first domino of your day negotiable. And that sets the wrong tone for the whole rest of the morning routine. So pick the time, stick to it. So I get out of bed, get dressed. And then for me right now, I'm in a season of life where fitness is a key priority. So the first thing I do is actually go grab the keys, grab my water bottle, and I get in the car and drive straight to the CrossFit gym. So I do an early 6:30 a.m. CrossFit workout. On my drive, I want to maximize that time. So I am listening to what I call my living vision. It's a playback of my own voice speaking out my vision for my life for 5 years from now. And I'm speaking it in the present tense. There's a lot to it. We won't go into visioning in its entirety today, but I'm listening to that audio and I'm just letting myself experience it fully. I'm imagining it. I'm just enjoying it. And a lot of times while I'm driving, I'll even speak it out along with my own voice. You know, I have a lot of it memorized at this point because I've heard it so many times, and just do that to bring more energy to it. I get to the gym, bust it hard for an hour with my peers. I love the competition and camaraderie of the CrossFit environment. It's not for everyone, but it's been great for me recently. And then as soon as that's done, I get back in the car and same thing. I maximize that transit time as I'm driving home. I put on a different set of affirmations around health, vitality, energy, and attitude. And it's just me speaking out all of the things that I want to prime my mindset with for the day. And same thing, I just bring more energy to that, turn the volume up. Sometimes I'll even shout them out, just whatever it takes for me to connect deeply to those statements. So I'll give you an example of one. There's an affirmation in my drive home that says, I trust the process of life. I am safe. Really simple statement, but how often do I allow external circumstances to create fear and doubt and uncertainty and like what's happening and how's this going to play out? Well, guess what? A lot of days when those things hit my radar, the first thing that I think is, I trust life. I trust the process. I don't know how this is going to play out, but I trust the process of life and I'm safe. That affirmation, you know, serves me in a big way. So I do that on the drive home, come into the apartment. First thing I do then is focus on refilling the nutrients and the things I need. So protein shake, I use Athletic Greens. I'm a green juice guy, gotta do it, you know. Get my greens. And usually by then my wife, you know, she's up, go in, say hi, hug, kiss, just check in. You know, how are you feeling? How'd you sleep? Just a moment to connect with her. And then I move on to preparing my time of meditation, reading, and sipping coffee, just me on the couch for a bit. So this is where I take care of my mind and my spirit. Sit there, again, it could be some journaling, some reading, some mindset work. And that time for me, Daniel, is, I'll call it flex time. The theme is my mindset and my spiritual life, but the specific actions that I'll do vary from week to week, really depending on what I'm focused on for my one thing that week, or wherever I feel that I need to focus the most. Get up, take a shower. I always finish with the cold shower. So if you aren't a believer in cold showers, I'd encourage you to experiment with it. I think it's really powerful. It's both for the mind and the body. There's physical benefits, but also mental benefits. Doing hard things, choosing to do something uncomfortable every single morning. For me, it's like I've already worked out really hard and chosen to get in really cold water. What else am I going to do today that's that much harder than doing those two things? It's like I've already set the bar for doing hard things really high. Take my cold shower, get dressed, and eat a little bit, get a few more calories, you know, usually focusing on proteins and complex carbohydrates. We won't go into too much detail on the nutrition side, but I'll get the foods that are going to fuel me and then head out to work and start the day with my team, our daily huddle. And by that time, you know, when I show up in the office, the very first thing that happens is making sure I have a clear plan for the entire day. So going through my daily rhythm, making sure every hour of my calendar is accounted for with intention for the entire day. Then that daily huddle with my team, we get off to the races. And just like we're at right now, all I do then is show up and execute. My energy is high, my emotion is high, very positive, and I don't have to think about what I'm going to do for the day because it's already laid out. It's already decided. So that's the short answer could go into a lot more detail. It wasn't even short. Dana's probably like, that's your short answer? What are you talking about?
No, I have a reply to that. Your affirmations, your self-spoken affirmations. What was your word for those?
I like intentions. I like affirmations, sometimes mantras. But this is for me, it's around health, vitality, energy, and attitude. Those are the buckets. So of the affirmations in there are focused around body and health, you know, et cetera. But that's the category that I focus on there.
Where I was going with that, though, in asking you what you call those is, I feel like a lot of your engineering audience members are going to identify with me. When I hear that stuff, man, I'm just like, that's BS. That's just, you know, some system somebody's trying to sell me. And, you know, I believe in the power of the subconscious mind. But too often, I feel like people have tried to sell me that system rather than saying, this is what I do. And this creates a cognitive shift. So I was just very intrigued at that. I don't think we have time to really dig into that right now, but I was just like, oh, wait, what? Zach practices what he preaches. This is interesting. I want to hear more about that and what that does for him. So,
look, I get it. You know, there's a lot of people selling a bill of goods around affirmations that don't deliver. But at the end of the day, I want to be intentional and choiceful, right? Being the one deciding in the driver's seat of what thoughts go into my mind that I want to think over and over and over that will ultimately drive my life. And that's all it is. You know, affirmations, what do we talk about? Well, just like I said, when something bad happens in life, what's your first response? What's your first thought? Is it, oh my goodness, this is terrible. This is horrible. Like my life sucks. Nothing's ever working out for me. Life is conspiring against me. God hates me. Like, is that what you're thinking? Well, guess what? That's what you believe. Those thoughts subconsciously are served up on a silver platter because you've trained yourself that when these things happen, this is how I think. I've trained myself that when life throws me a nasty curveball, the first thing that I think is everything is always working out for me. I trust the process of life and I am safe. Guess who responds better in those situations? It's really not complicated to imagine the outcome. It's just people don't want to believe A, in the power of it, because they're not willing to do the hard work to actually experience the result. You don't get the result in one rep, Daniel. I mean, that's the problem. It's no different than the CrossFit. I mean, guess what? I went to the CrossFit gym the first time. I didn't come home that night. My wife was like, whoa, look at your biceps. They're enormous. I was in a lot of pain and I had no results to show for it. It's the exact same with affirmations and mindset work. When you do it, you're in a lot of pain. Why? Because it takes time. It's boring. It doesn't really seem like it's working. It's just pain and you have no results to show for it. But if you'll do it every day for 30 days and then 90 days and then a year, suddenly your wife looks at you and is like, oh my, you're looking pretty good. I like what I see there, bud. Like, let's keep going. And you're feeling more energy and you look at me like you hardly recognize yourself. It's the same thing in your thoughts. Suddenly somebody's going to say that thing that used to trigger you, used to derail your whole day. And your first response is going to be, whatever, they probably woke up on the wrong side of the bed and everything is going to work out fine. And you're going to catch yourself in that moment and be like, holy smokes, how did that happen? It's those daily affirmations.
I like this. I definitely lean towards the more, I attempt to be more rationally minded, right? So yeah, I like yoga for the stretching and stuff, right? But when they get to that point, they're like, what's your affirmation? I'm like,
forget it.
I'm stretching. I think loose muscles, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, here's so the simple
what
equation.
What I'm hearing you saying that really lands with me is that you're priming your subconscious mind to deal with challenges with success and action when they arise. I'm like, I can get on board with that. Like,
that's right. Let's use horsepower as an example. Everybody understands horsepower. Well, if you've got 100 horses that make up your mind, the neuroscience shows us that 95 of those horses are your subconscious mind, 5 of those horses are your conscious mind. So if 95 horses believe that life is conspiring against me And five of those horses are consciously, rationally, logically trying to tell you it's all going to work out fine. Who's winning in that tug of war? It's a no-brainer, folks. Like, your subconscious will win every single time. It outpowers your conscious mind. Now, everybody's going to hear that and say, no, not true. Like, I can rationalize and work my way, and analytical thinking wins every time. I get it. I'm an engineer too. Let's talk about it. But I just want to encourage folks, the subconscious is the majority of the nervous system. Let's use it to our advantage. We'll leave it there.
I got one analogy I want to add to that. It sounds like what we're trying to do, gasoline lawnmowers, right? Growing up, I think everybody's gone electric these days, but you got that little like rubber bulb, you know, that you got to put a little bit of gas in the tank to fire it up, right? You can tell yourself that you're He-Man and you're going to rip that cord as hard as you can. But you got to have a little gas in the tank to get going, right?
I love that. Absolutely. Priming is a big deal. So, you know, the only thing I didn't say, I've told you my routine, but here's the thing, as you're designing yours, so for the engineering leader who's hearing this, a lot of inputs, hopefully you're convinced that it's important, but here's what I would consider. You're a whole person. To me, that means body, mind, and spirit. So just think about your morning routine. Do you have something in there that addresses priming the pump, priming the gas tank or the engine for those three areas? So take care of your body, the right inputs, nutrition, get some water, get some greens, get some bulletproof coffee, whatever your jam is. Think about the body, some stretching. You don't have to do CrossFit in the morning, okay? That's just what's what I do, but maybe there's some stretching you can do. Just wake up the body. Think about the mind, these affirmations, maybe some reading, putting, you know, pick a favorite personal development book or something you want to learn about. Could be some studying for a key technology that you're learning about at work. Take care of the mind, get the mind revved up. And then the spirit, right? This part of you that has faith, you know, it doesn't have to be religious, but just think about who you are as a person. Maybe that's meditation, prayer, could be just focusing on who you want to be in your future, visioning, but just that idea of looking at your whole person. If you can touch on all three, then you're going to, I believe, experience the best benefits versus a morning routine that's solely built around physical things. Or a lot of people roll out of bed and do their meditations and those things, but they're only focused on the mind or the spirit, and they don't take care of their body. To me, when you look at all three, that's when you get the best results.
Excellent. All right. Our next question is from Maria. And Maria is a student at the University of Michigan who is studying mechanical engineering.
Go Blue. Love that.
And her question is, what advice or tips do you have for those of us still in college? And additionally, she asks, is there anything that you, Zach, would do differently based on what you know now? I like that. I like that.
I feel like this is an appropriate time for a cliche joke about I did everything perfectly in college and I wouldn't change a thing or something. Great question. And we do get a lot of people in college, undergrad, grad school, who reach out and we get to talk to them. And what a powerful time in terms of setting the stage for your life. So much fun. I have so many amazing memories from Purdue and U of M. For those who don't know, I said go Blue because I got my master's at the University of Michigan. But if I'm being totally honest, Daniel, I'll give you a couple that pop right in. First one for me is that I grew up in a home that valued academics tremendously, which was awesome. That's a great thing. But where I went very wrong was that I trained myself, or I was trained by my mom and people who loved me and wanted me to do well, to focus on getting the A, get the grade. And school for me was built around optimizing for the grade. And I got really good at that. I mean, I was valedictorian in my high school. I was an A guy, you know, awesome GPA in college, et cetera. But I got into that mindset of what do I need to do here to get all the points, to get the grade? And while it served me well in some ways, it also left a lot on the table in really understanding the principles and how to apply the material. And honestly, if I'm just looking back, it wasn't as passion led. It was more just figure out how to not mess up here. And that's something that I do wish I'd looked at differently, that somebody had come alongside and said, look, yeah, getting an A matters. Great grades matter. It's going to help you. But more importantly, are you wrapping your head around this material and falling in love with engineering more and more semester after semester? And there were plenty of times where I could have cared less about the material. I was just focused on getting that project done and getting that A. And that's a mistake. I wish I'd done that differently, because it would have served me so much better in my career. And even to this day, the amount of engineering that I've forgotten is higher because I didn't fall in love with the principles and the application during college days. Now, it doesn't mean I couldn't go back and relearn it, but the engineers that I work with who really just amaze me with their brilliance 10, 20, and 30 years after they finished undergrad and still have that incredible grasp, it's not just that they're using it on the job. That's always an easy one. Yeah, okay, if you use it, you don't lose it. But also, they really fell in love with the material. So that's number one. Closely related to that is go to the freaking office hours. Like, go hang with your professor. I wish I'd done more of that, because it helps you to learn and discover really what this is all about, and not just how to solve the homework problem or get an A on the test. And, you know, just frankly, the courage and confidence to go talk to a superior. Can't tell you how many young engineers really are uncomfortable, like deeply uncomfortable. Sit there at the phone for 10, 15, 20 minutes thinking about what they're going to say when they pick up the phone to dial the manager or a vendor, an external vendor who they've never talked to. And it really causes them to clam up and they don't know how to handle that situation. I think office hours is a good time to flex that ability to just kind of walk in the room with somebody who you see as a superior and realize that I can just have a chat. I can be me, and we're two people. It doesn't make them unapproachable. I think that's another benefit of spending more time with your professors.
That's excellent. I've never thought about it like that.
Honestly, I'm not sure that I connected those dots until this moment either, but I think it's really good. Here's another one then. I'll get off the academics for a second. You know, if you can finish your engineering degree, you're already ahead of the majority of the population. You know, great job. But here's something I would say: fewer groups, bigger impact. So I did a lot of hiring of college grads when I was at Whirlpool. My clients do a lot of hiring of college grads in the companies that they work for as directors and managers in their companies. And one of the things that I see a lot is a resume packed with activities. You're a member or a participant in 20 different student organizations and things on campus. The sort of resume packing lifestyle is interesting, but here's the deal. If all you're doing is showing up to a bunch of parties and member meetings and different things for all these groups, you paid your dues and you got your permission to put it on your resume, but you didn't actually move the needle on anything of impact in those organizations, to me, that's not impressive. It doesn't make me want to hire you. If you had done just a couple of things, but you went all in and you actually changed the game, you accomplished something meaningful, you have a result that you can speak about, and you put a lot of energy and heart and soul into it, that person is someone I'm much more interested in hiring than the person who has 20 things on their resume and, you know, they were treasurer of 15 organizations, but they didn't actually do anything meaningful with any of them. So fewer activities, deeper impact is something I would encourage you to do. And if you're a student with a lot of interests, that's fine. Just do one at a time. Maybe this semester you focus on the SAE car, or you get into the solar car team for a year and really drive that to a big result. And then the next year you can do something else. But encourage folks to do less and obsess a bit more about making that impactful. But it's a place I see folks trying to pack the resume, so just be careful. And then maybe the last thing I'd say is start young, start in college, of looking at yourself as a whole person. So at OACO, we do really powerful coaching for engineering leaders around this concept of how do you create career success without suffering burnout and becoming one-dimensional, working too much or really only achieving success in your career, but your marriage falls apart or your health falls apart or these other things. I would just encourage you to start now. Maria, you're in college. Now's the time to look at your whole person. So don't only invest time and energy into academics and your analytical, logical systems part of your mind. What can you do that's really creative? Practicing using the other side of your brain for a while. Do some creative writing, do some painting, do some creative dance. You know, that's something I did. Everybody who follows me knows I did ballroom, Latin, and swing dancing competitively while I was at Purdue. Something that taps into the other parts of who you are, a hobby that you're passionate about, those kinds of things. And then also, you know, you're going to make a living with your mind as an engineering leader. So what about your body? You know, stay active, something that keeps you fit, something that connects with who you are physically. If that's playing a varsity sport, that's amazing. If it's intramurals or simply just having a passion for fitness that you can then talk about how you had that discipline in your body in addition to discipline in your mind. Again, start now building those habits, not only for your resume and to talk about in an interview, but frankly, so that 10 years from now, you don't suffer the kind of burnout that I see so often with engineering leaders who fall into that trap of just going after engineering success.
So we got four great points there, Zach. The first one, focus less on the grade and more on the opportunities and discovering your passions. Did I get that right?
Yeah, maybe call it, you know, master the principles and the application. And I'd just say all of the above, yeah.
Number two, go to office hours, interact with your academic superiors. Number three, fewer groups, higher impact. And number four, look at yourself as a whole person.
You know, what's funny is you repeat those back, Daniel, is we could probably just copy paste that into anybody's situation right where they're at, not just college. It's not that different. If you were a engineering manager and said, hey, what should I do? It's like, hey, let's focus on the principles, not just the grades. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting.
Very true. Very true.
How about that?
Oh. Well, hey, Zach, so at The Happy Engineer, we're all about questions, and good questions lead to good answers. You say that a lot more eloquently. But so for each of our question askers today, what question would you encourage them to ask? So what question would you encourage Nick to ask, who is wanting to explore the realm of morning routine?
Nick, I would encourage you to ask yourself, what am I willing to commit to? Because at the end of the day, your success in building a morning routine and getting results from it will depend on consistency, grit, stick-to-itiveness, discipline, whatever word resonates for you the most. So ask yourself, what are you willing to commit to, and start there.
And then Maria, what advice would you have for those of us in college? What question would you encourage your listeners in college to ask right now?
This one's harder for me because there's a lot of questions we could ask. But Maria, here's where I would point you. I would ask the question, what kind of engineer do I want to be? Take yourself out of the present moment in college and go ahead and place your mind, you know, visualize and think for a moment about when you're doing this for your life. You're in that first job, that maybe second, third, fourth job down the road. What kind of engineer do I want to be? And you may or may not have all the answers to that, but just get that picture in your mind, because that's going to be that North Star that's going to make it easier to implement the things that we talked about, these four points. But if you don't have something beyond this moment and beyond what's right in front of you to pull you towards being your best, then it's pretty easy to fall into some typical habits or behaviors of the college culture around you, to be the same as your peers or let that environment influence you, or to just keep doing it the way you've always done it. So what kind of engineer do you want to be? And then let's work that back to how then will you act today to help you get there?
Well, those were two great questions today, Zach. Let me ask you a question, Zach.
Yeah.
What's the last thing that impacted you? Is there something you read lately that resonated with you?
Wow. I mean, I'm always studying and always looking for new ways to take my life and the lives of my clients to the next level. And so in answering that at this moment, you know, we're recording in July of 2022. If anybody's catching this in the future and whenever this episode releases, the thing I'm focused on the most right now is understanding the relationship between the conscious mind and the unconscious, the subconscious, and how the analytical mind, which is a part or a behavior of the conscious, how it is a strength and how it's a weakness in creating change and transformation of the subconscious. So that's a mouthful, but here's why this interests me so much. Engineering leaders, and myself included, I am right in this category. We have a very thick, a very strong analytical mind that drives us to great success in many areas. But the data and the research out there is showing pretty clearly that a deep, thick, strong analytical approach to life also makes it more difficult for you to become suggestible in the subconscious. So to me, that's important because, like we talked about earlier, those 95 horses and five horses, this affirmations and how do we change the subconscious? If we have a handicap because of our analytical thinking to creating that change, what do we need to do as engineering leaders to help optimize the whole system? And are there different strategies, different tactics, and different ways to apply energy to help us maximize both sides? Because it's not at all to say that analytical thinking is a weakness. It is a strength, but like any strength, over-indexed or used in the wrong ways can become a weakness. So that's what I'm studying hard and bringing the best of best that we can find to our clients to help them say, all right, here's how we leverage the strength, but this is what we need to uniquely focus on to mitigate how that can also block us from change and transformation in our life.
I think that really brings us full circle back to our first question about morning routines. You know,
100%.
How do you use your conscious mind to influence your subconscious mind?
There it is. Boom. Big, big period. Awesome questions, Daniel. Thanks for being here and working through those with me. I love how you always take me to great places, and kudos and thank you to the folks who submitted questions.
All right, Zach, that's another one in the bag. Question and answer number three.
Until next time, keep crushing comfort, Daniel. I know you're out there doing it too, brother. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with two or three friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the resource hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.